Good day, friends. We're dealing once again with our Bible Open with a series that we've simply entitled Know Your Bible. We've talked about how to know the truth, how to know the unity of God's Word, how to know the wonderful meaning of peace. We have discussed faith and works. We've talked about Bible charity. We've talked about Christian living. And on the broadcast last time, we talked about Bible truth regarding conversion. Today I want to finish this series of broadcasts, and I want to thank the brethren who made it possible. As this gospel is beamed out and goes into the homes and the hearts we trust of many, we want them to know what the Word of God teaches. Back when we begin this series, we begin with John 8:32, that simply says, as the Savior announced it, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We found out from John 17:17, that the truth truly was the Word of God, for Jesus prayed to his Father before his crucifixion, "Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth." One of the subjects that must be touched upon in this series is the evidence of law. It is our firm conviction that man has lived under law from the dawn of creation. A law in the Garden of Eden before man committed sin was that he should not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that he would eat thereof, he would surely die. There is a teaching regarding the law and the penalty for breaking it. Man did break it. The law of Moses is referred to in Malachi 4:5, and was stated there by the writer Malachi that the Israelites should remember the law of Moses. But that law of Moses was spoken of as a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, a child conductor, that truly we might be justified by faith. So the Israelite people, who were the ones who received that law of Moses, should have followed that law to bring them to the feet of the great teacher. But on this side of the cross, Paul spoke in Romans 3:27 as a law of faith. And I'm led to believe that since we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7, that it's vital that we consider today that we are following the perfect law of liberty as we have in James 1:25. There are still commandments to be obeyed in our life today. I recall reading in the 28th chapter of Matthew, after Christ had announced to his apostles in verse 18 that full or complete authority in heaven and earth was given unto him, and in the next verse that they should teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he then said, "Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." When the divine power of God, as Peter spoke of it in 2 Peter 1:3, brought unto the apostles the marvelous gospel teaching, as we told you last time, it told the world how to be born again, how to be converted to Christ Jesus, how to really repent and be converted that their sins might be blotted out. And then this law stretched on before, commandments that were to be observed and obeyed, not that the Lord has always said, "I command you," but as Jesus let us know in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And again, John writing in 2 John, just one chapter in that epistle, and in verse 6, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." Now, if you're missing any of these passages and you don't have them down, feel free to send a card or letter to us, and we'll be glad to send the complete outline to you. But I want to note that the law of Moses served a certain purpose upon this earth. In Galatians chapter 3, we have that law being given alone to the Jewish people. Now, if you're interested in what law the Gentiles were living under during that span of time, from Mount Sinai down to the death of Christ, which was approximately 1,500 years, simply look at Romans 2:14, where the Gentiles were a law unto themselves. But I want to spend a little time here in looking at the great teaching that's found in the 3rd chapter of the Galatian epistle. It simply says that the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's in Galatians 3:22, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now the point is, before faith came, or before that gospel came, we were kept under the law, that's the law of Moses, shut up unto the faith, the gospel, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law, referring to the law of Moses, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Of course, Paul said later in Romans 5 and 1 in another accounting, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." But the point is that after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, Galatians 3:25. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And the true badge here of their faith in Christ Jesus is found here by their obedience to the gospel. He simply talks about the transition from sin to righteousness when he says in verse 27 of Galatians 3, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." So the law of Moses that begins back in Exodus 20 and spans that 1,500 years down to the time that Christ died was a law that was written by the finger of God, as you find in Exodus 31 and 18. But it was that child conductor or that schoolmaster to bring these people to the feet of the great teacher that they might be justified by faith. But now we find the gospel has come. We are no longer under the law of Moses. No longer is it needful that sacrifices should be offered in Jerusalem. No longer is it necessary or needful that one should keep that law of Moses. But we truly have the law of faith in Romans 3:27 that we are to live by. It tells us what to do to become a Christian. And as we recounted in detail to you on the broadcast last time, that man hears the word, believes it, repents of his sins, confesses his faith in Christ, and is baptized into Christ Jesus, that's obeying from our heart that form of doctrine which was delivered by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Then we have this Christian life, a life in which, may I underscore 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. I told a lady just recently when we were discussing this subject that everything we do in the public worship on Lord's Day, the breaking of bread, the giving as we're prospered, the singing, the praying, the exhorting, all those things that go to do with that service, that worship, truly those things are done by faith. Imagine a congregation sitting in a church building with the Lord's table there before them, the bread and the fruit of the vine. We have never met Jesus face to face, and yet we believe that he lived. We also believe that he died. We also believe that he rose from the dead. But there's the bread and the fruit of the vine. We partake of this as Christians because we believe that he did die upon the cross. We give to him as we have been prospered, not because we've met him, but because we believe in him. Prayer is a part of it which indicates that even though we've not seen the Mediator or God the Father, for no man has seen the face of God and lived, yet we believe in him. And all of the things that go into our song service and into our exhortation is based upon faith. Then we come out of the church building and we're facing a new week before us. We're going into the marketplace of life. How are we going to walk? Well, again, by faith. We simply look to his word, and I know sometimes we stumble, but the fact remains the word is there. We can, as his children, repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of our heart might be forgiven us. And so we go through the Christian life, step after step, by faith, not by sight, but by the word of God. And finally the time comes when we're called upon to leave this world, and eventually we stand before him at the final day. Paul put it this way again in that 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians, in verse 10 now, when he said we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And how wonderful it will be to hear the Lord say, as we have the teaching given time and time again in the Scripture, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And how wonderful it will be to go through the gates of the city and to realize that Revelation 22:14 was true when it said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city." At your leisure, why not read at least the last part of the 20th chapter of Revelation? You can read the whole chapter if you want to, but I'm thinking right now of a portion of the chapter that is so outstanding in its meaning regarding those things that have to do with the judgment. Let me read just an excerpt from it in your hearing. Verse 11 of the 20th chapter tells us very concisely, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." So God and Christ are going to be in that judgment. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." That's the baptism of fire. This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But you see, friends, you don't have to go near that lake of fire if you truly obey the gospel. Live according to the perfect law of liberty. Let us help you do that. And in the closing moment of this broadcast in this series, I want to thank you for listening. We've been talking about Know Your Bible, and it's been brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. Visit these brethren. Let them know that you're interested in the gospel. If you haven't been born again, obey the gospel. If you're following the Lord today, why not work with them? Be in fellowship with them in the great work that they're carrying on. We hope that you'll be with us on the broadcast next time as we'll delve into a new series. But it'll all be found in a Thus Saith the Lord. The entrance of God's Word will give light. We want to walk in the light as He is the light, that we may have fellowship with Him and with one another. May God bless you as you do what His Word says, living for Him here, that you might live with Him there.